Randy Audio. You people are stuck with me as the host, so this is going to be like 2 hours of stupid shit, and I have to deal with it.
That was basically the intro, the beginning of every Nitro. You just introduced it like Tony Schiavone.
Well, and the person who just pointed that out to me, his name is Jordan Smith. He's otherwise known as the Big Round Wizard. What is up, Jordan?
Not a whole lot. Just got done watching some St. Louis wrestling from 1981 to 83.
Nice. You were watching a full afroed Tully Blanchard.
Yes, beefy as hell, and fairly green Kevin Von Erich in a babyface versus babyface match. Woo!
Nice. Well, and the other person I will be talking to on this eve, his name is Eric Nelson. Eric, say hi.
Hello, people. How are you all? I am well, thank you for asking.
I'm sure they're all very happy to hear that.
Good, I hope so. I hope people are concerned about my well-being.
Well, speaking of your well-being, this is as good a place to start as any. You had a very active weekend, did you not?
Our weekend was out of hand this weekend. What we did, Jordan and I, along with other Stunt Granny listeners, let's see, I don't know, is anyone technically a junior member who was there? No, I don't think so.
No, I'm no longer a junior.
That's right. You got all your merit badges now.
Yes. Woo!
A weird collection of us decided that we were going to descend upon Chicago this weekend for both the, well, some of us, all of us went to Dragon Gate on Sunday, and some of us went to Monday Night Raw. I'll give you one guess as to what day of the week that was.
Tuesday.
We had a good old time.
It was Tuesday in Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
at the closest possible date. It is Tuesday in Texas. Furthermore, Lake was randomized. This is a great undertaking. Sorry, anyway.
Anywho, but your weekend started early, Eric, because you went to see Weezer in concert, did you not?
Shit, yes, I did. Kansas City, Friday night, I went to see Weezer. I suppose Blink-182 was there also.
Mm-hmm.
But you
went to see Weezer.
I went to see Weezer. I stayed for the Blink-182.
Yeah, since Travis is still the drummer, you can't really get too excited about it. But
right, exactly. I've said it before, I'll say it again, he is not the best drummer for that band because he's so damn distracting.
I know who was the best drummer for that band.
Yeah, Scott.
Scott, their first drummer, yes.
Yes. But you know what?
Who agreed to go to rehab, by the way.
Ah.
And they still kicked him out of the band. I don't get it.
He violated the Blink-182 wellness policy.
Supposedly the song Man Overboard is about Scott.
Oh, crazy. Okay, that's a great song. And they played that at the show, which was good to hear. Because I believe originally it was the bonus track on the Mark, Tom, and Travis show, the live CD they put out.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
So, very good to hear that song live. It was in Bonner Springs, Kansas, technically, at the Sandstone Amphitheater. So we got a natural amphitheater going on. And a couple of friends of mine said they had a spare ticket. I said, I have a spare $45. Well, I don't really. I sure the fuck
no,
don't have
a spare.
Yeah, I don't have a spare fucking anything. I don't have anywhere to spare. So, but I went anyway, because why not? I'd seen Weezer 3 other times, and they were way better this time stage-wise. Performance-wise, they're always spot-on, but performance-wise, Rivers was all over the place. It was fucking great. He even had a little trampoline next to the drum risers that he jumped on most of the time.
Nice.
Yep, and then Blink-182 was good, entertaining. I feel like every once in a while, Tom had to force it whenever he'd tell a fart joke or a dick joke or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not into that.
No, he's like, I'm still too pretentious for this. I'm an Angels Airways.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I pretty much lost all respect for that dude after that. That was some bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know. He got his normal Blink-182 singing voice back, though, just in time for these shows.
Okay, good.
So.
Good.
Yep. Saw about 15 songs out of them and then left right before the encore because we figured it would just be more of the same.
Yeah.
But definitely a band I can check off my list now.
Mm-hmm. Any other bands of note play on the show?
Taking Back Sunday played. They were pretty good for, I mean, I know them well, but never really paid attention to their newer stuff. And I'd seen them before open up for Saves the Day, which was a great show.
Okay.
The Von Bondies, who, Dusty, I believe, I talked to you after the show, and you said, oh, yeah, they've got that one hit.
Yeah, they got that song that was on a baseball video game.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
I have that CD.
Something, something, come on, come on.
Come on, is it right to leave? Come on, come on.
Yeah. Yep, they sure played the fuck out of that song. It's like they've played it every single show at the very end of their set.
Well, good.
But yeah, otherwise, $7 beers, $6 sandwiches.
I'm glad
yeah.
you brought that up because I was going to ask about that. That's good.
Festival price, and believe me, $30 Blink-182 t-shirts.
Nice.
You know what? Do what it do. They're making money off it. If there were 17,000 people there, like they said, one out of every 10 people was wearing a Blink-182 t-shirt.
Sure. That's a man's thrill, you know?
That's 1,700 people at $30 a pop is $51,000 in merch.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. My band will never, ever make that amount of money combined CD sales, merch, or live show gate, or fucking robbing hookers after the show.
Oh, keep your chin up, bucko.
All right, my chin is firmly planted upward. Planted upward. It's more like
yeah.
one of those hanging tomato vine things.
Yeah.
I'm a retard.
I love that commercial because these people... their whole world revolves around tomatoes. Like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do about my tomatoes. My tomatoes just never turn out. God, how am I going to have a BLT, you know? It's like, oh, I can swing the tomatoes from a vine. All right. Now I can have tomatoes on my Cheerios. Sweet.
Fucking phenomenal. Science is just great.
But anywho, after Blink 182 and Taking Back Sunday and Weezer officially rocked your face off.
I'm glad you cut me off before I said Isaac Newton is jerking off in his grave. Sorry, bad science reference. Okay.
All right, so after that, it was off to Chicago for you.
It
and,
was.
On Saturday, there was a Dragon Gate show, is that correct?
Sunday.
I think they chose Sunday mostly because, well, I mean, there are many factors. Probably because
it was holiday weekend. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
and probably because it would have been the night before, like immediately before Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. And Sunday is associated with pay-per-views, so it's kind of a traditional wrestling night.
Sure.
Yeah, and
more
it was a pay-per-view taping. You
know. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Yep, so.
Now, you met up, you two, with Steve MHW and Derek Steller from the message board.
Yeah, we got there Saturday. Eric and I got there Saturday and stayed in the beautiful La Quinta in Schaumburg, about, you know, on the north side of Chicago. So.
Okay.
And then they showed up Sunday. We just sort of dinked around, and would we go to Stone Mountain, Georgia Inn or whatever?
Yeah. We pushed Jake the Snake Roberts off his bar stool and bellied up and had a bite to eat. No, we just, you know, did our Google Maps and nearby whatever businesses, and then we're looking for a place to eat around there because we figured it would be easier to find something near us in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Right.
We found a restaurant that was not only within walking distance, it was literally in the parking lot of our La Quinta.
After we asked the concierge if she knew of any non-chain stores, and
no,
literally
you have to tell the whole story because I'm not ashamed.
You go ahead then.
I think by now everybody knows that while I can be mean-spirited at times, that I'm usually more jovial. Yeah, I know. Shock.
That's
a pretty jovial guy. No, fuck. No one wants to look like Kaniski. But I meant this in a joking way, but I meant this more in an observational way. Like, I've seen this before, and we will see it again here in a second. I said to Jordan, I drove into downtown Chicago to pick up Jordan, almost missed him. found exactly
I see you
where
in
he
your
was.
Rear view. Yeah, I see you in my rear view, and I was walking toward you.
Toward the front of my car.
Toward the front of your car, yeah.
So he hopped in, Dukes of Hazzard style, and then as we were on our way to the La Quinta, I said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to walk in, and we're going to ask a half-Mexican concierge, keeping in mind this is about a half-star hotel, and I'm referring to this person as a concierge. We're going to ask the half-Mexican concierge to recommend a restaurant to us nearby, preferably a non-chain restaurant, because we knew that there were a bunch of Wendy's and Arby's around.
It's like asking Gorgo from Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God. Well, so
I
we walk in.
I cannot tell you where a restaurant is. The master would not approve.
Yeah, I mean, this La Quinta, to set it up, is literally, like, to the left of it is a Wendy's, and to the right of it is a Denny's. I mean, like, it's sandwiched directly in this parking lot with all these businesses, so.
Right. So what happened was, then when we walked in, there was somebody checking in front of us, and they were checking in with a girl who appeared to be half Mexican. I turn to Jordan and give him a knowing nod. He starts to giggle a little bit.
Right.
We walk up to the counter. As we're checking in, Jordan, they have their express check-in thing, so the girl goes back and grabs the keys, and I say, so could you recommend for us a restaurant around here, something preferably non-chain, not like a, you know, whatever, Arby's or anything? She says, oh, like a Wendy's or a Denny's?
Oh, no.
Exactly the opposite of a Wendy's or a Denny's, please.
We both had to look at the ground, because at that point it was just our, oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to, no, not Wendy's. I don't want it too fancy now.
Don't clash too much with your fancy tomatoes.
Oh, my God. Then we get in the room, and there's a Nintendo 64 interactive controller for the TV.
Which is awesome, because I thought those went the way of the Dodo when high-def TVs came into fashion. But apparently, La Quinta can't afford to put high-def TVs in their rooms yet. But if you keep getting us nerd wrestling fans there, you'll be able to afford it.
Yep.
What else? Oh, we noticed just walking back and forth in front of the rooms, too, in our hallway. There were two rooms adjacent to each other that, like, these girls were bitching about something. What? I can't even remember.
And I stuck my head in. They were so loud you could hear them in the hallway, but you couldn't quite understand what they said. So I, like, basically literally put my ear to their door, and one girl just screams, I don't know where I'm going to get a fake ID right now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Then I just put my head away from the door and just walked away.
Yeah.
They were, like, screaming.
Yeah, screaming about a fake ID. God forbid they wouldn't be able to drink. I'll give them something to drink. But, oh, I know what we did. Actually, there's a little, like, pedestrian mall.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks when you're a teenager and can't drink in Schaumburg.
Right. I mean, I want to have a Bud Light and a pack of Marlboros, damn it.
Oh, God.
It's a chick, and her ID still says McLovin on it. But no, so we went down to this pedestrian mall and we walked around. I think we did a whole lap to try to find something to do because it was getting late. It was like 9:30 or 10. Part of the problem was I was chatting with the cute photographer on Facebook, but another part of the problem is we just didn't know what the fuck we were gonna do. So
yeah.
we walked around and we decided that we were thinking about going into this comedy store called Laugh Out Loud. Because it was improv night. Why the fuck wouldn't you go to improv night in Schaumburg, Illinois? You're going to get a good laugh, ironically or not. But we walk in, and there is a sign that said $18.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
And
thanks.
I just literally walked in the door and turned around and walked out.
He did. He left me hanging because the chick at the ticket counter comes up, and she's like, she just kind of looks at me, and I look at the sign. I go, huh, $18. Looks like I'm going to have to go outside and show a little leg. She stares at me, and she's like, huh? I go, I need more money, and then I walked out. I'm like, I know that wasn't the best fucking joke I've ever told, but Christ, you work at a comedy store, you should probably get it.
Right?
So then we, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, so after that, we're, like, still struggling to figure out what to do, but we walked by a sports bar in that same pedestrian mall, so we came back to it. The name of the sports bar is called Sports. That's it, just Sports. It's a sports
and here,
bar.
I hoped it was a Huey Lewis-themed bar.
Right? Obviously, it's the best songs by Huey Lewis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all
exactly.
Long.
I know.
Now,
but instead,
it
was dudes
it
with...
Even... If it would have even resembled the cover of the sports album, you know, whatever. That would have been
pool
great.
Pool table and everything. But it was, like, literally inside of an arcade. Like, it was like a douchier Dave and Buster's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was that kind of place. Like, interactive baseball card games and all this other stuff.
yeah.
So
get a ticket. Trade it in for a Beanie Baby. I don't know. So we decided to trade in some money for a bucket of beer and just sat around talking about WCW, basically. And the
yeah,
rise
basically.
Of DVD.
Yeah, my ranting and raving about it.
Yep. So there you go, Saturday night in Schaumburg, folks. Does the
Woo!
Fun ever start? No, have a good time.
Now we did, yeah.
But one more thing I want to talk to you about before we get on to the meat of the crux of the matter.
Yes.
Driving in Chicago
is
never something that I enjoy, to the point where I fell asleep once so that Leepak would have to drive the entire way. Any driving stories that you could share?
Yeah, a couple. I mean, I called you, Dusty, when I had to pay fucking my fourth toll in a row on 88, the goddamn tollway. I'm like, they don't even get you coming and going. They get you coming and coming and coming coming and going.
It's worth coming from South Bend. There's 7 from here to Chicago when it's a 2-hour trip.
Oh, that noise.
Well, that's why I took the train.
Yeah. The best part about the directions that I got from Google Maps to get to where Jordan was it was literally 3 steps. Take 80 east for 180 miles. Take 88 east for 140 miles. Turn left on Congress. Cool.
And there I was. Yeah, we made it easy. I found a place downtown that he could pick me up that was as easy as pie, just so he didn't have to deal with, the majority of it.
Yep. But really, the driving foibles happened later on, just,
make the first legal U-turn.
Oh my God! It was seriously the weekend of legal U-turns. We tried to map things out on Google Maps in advance, but then Jordan had his GPS also, and it's like, really, you just need to trust your gut.
Yeah.
Fuck maps. Fuck GPS. Fuck Tom Garman, who rarely knows what he's talking about. It's just go with your gut. I mean, we passed the street to turn on to get to the Rosemont Horizon on Monday night. I think we might have even passed the right expressway to get to the hotel after I picked you up. Or something. But like I said, it was constant GPS piping in. Take the first legal U-turn, you dipshit.
It would have us turn right and then immediately turn around to turn left.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't too bad until the parking lot of Raw, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, yeah. Really, as far as traffic goes, I think, I don't know, maybe the worst part, I guess worst is kind of a harsh term to use for it, but we did a lot of walking on Sunday, which we'll talk about.
Oh,
I mean,
a lot.
I don't know, a lot of walking, yeah. Just not being sure exactly what this address means. Like, oh, is it in this building? I don't think so. Is it across this river? Maybe not. But really, the trick is, don't go too far. Go a block, go an exit or something like that. If you're wrong, what have you lost, really?
Sure.
And if you're right, then you've lost the ability to make a legal U-turn.
But we really didn't drive much, all things considered. Eric drove to Raw, but we drove and took the train into Chicago for Dragon Gate. So
yep.
We didn't really have to rely too much on driving or parking or all this other stuff.
Driving to the venue, but we actually
I've been to Chicago enough. I kind of knew the metro, knew the metro system enough, and it took us into downtown. And we took the L over to the venue. Then we walked about 2 miles, and then took a bus. I mean, we just were all over the place.
Yeah, parking to get to the Congress Theater, and
go ahead.
Oh, just parking to get to, driving to get to the Congress Theater in downtown Chicago for the Dragon Gate show would have been miserable. The drive itself would have sucked, but trying to find a parking spot in that weird ass neighborhood. Like,
oh god,
yeah. You're right across from a fucking vacuum cleaner repair store. Oh, I'm about to go to this historic ornate theater to see Japanese pro wrestling? Yeah. Well, none of these things are not like the other. All of these things just don't belong.
Yes. The whole neighborhood is just, it's not the best neighborhood, but it was all right. It was, the Congress Theater's night. It would be really nice if they cleaned it up, but it's definitely seen better days, like 1965.
If it's good enough for disheveled Gabe Sapolsky, it's good enough for me.
is it still a theater?
There's concerts there and stuff now. It's not like a movie theater anymore. You could tell it kind of was with a stage and everything, but it's been pretty heavily modified.
Yep.
Yeah, like we have a restaurant in town that used to be the old movie theater, and like you can totally tell, by looking at it, like, okay, there was this, there was that kind of thing. So,
yeah, you can kind of see where the layout was and where the stage is and everything, like how it once was. And like the dome is pretty ornate. I mean, the whole building's really not that awful. It just needs a lot of work to be up to like beautiful standards.
Yeah.
You can see it was once really great.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was a nice little venue for the show. So
was the place packed, would you say, or?
It could have been
packed.
Packed isn't the right word.
Yeah, they did move some of the seats up to the stage, and we tried to get upsold when we got there because we had general admission tickets, and a pretty blonde lady said, ooh, you have general. Would you like to upgrade to a ticket that's sitting on the stage? You'd be eye level with the ring. And I said, well, how much is that going to be? $20 each. Nah, that's cool. I'm okay with sitting many rows back and on, like, a riser area. But you know how Gabe likes to pack seats in at these shows. There were a lot of seats on each side of the ring, but it was only, five, six, seven rows back or something like that. But then our side, which was opposite the stage, I probably went back, I don't know, like six rows of ringside and maybe another 10 rows. Like I think we were 10 rows back on what you would put the risers if it was a normal arena. But there was still plenty of room behind us just for walking space. But then the lobby with merch was a completely separate thing. It wasn't like a usual Ring of Honor, like Fieldhouse show where the concessions are in the arena area too. It wasn't packed, but it wasn't like there was a lot of room, but there was still some room if they wanted to put more seats.
Yeah. I mean, they basically they knew how many tickets they sold, so they pulled a bunch of seats. There could have been a lot more in there because they were just folding chairs. It could have been worse, but, I mean, they basically made it look like it was full because there weren't a whole lot of empty seats, but they could have added a whole lot more seats, actually, so.
Yep. Gabe is really good at that, like making it look like the place is just jammed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Gabe, I know, like, when I went to ROH shows and stuff, you'd see, like, Gabe running around and...
Oh, yeah, we saw him. Disheveled, walking around with his booking sheet in his hand, like smacking it against his hand, and walking very quickly with his head down.
Yeah, he was
down the aisle.
Running around isn't the right term for what Gabe does, but
Was race walking. He was sprint walking.
Yeah, he was. He did it very, you know, he did it a couple times before the beginning, but like 5 minutes before they announced they were going to kick off the show, he was really like up and down and had people in his ear, and he was trying to get everything coordinated. But you could just see him. He looked a little nervous, but probably not as nervous as an ROH show.
Right.
Right.
I think I made
the comment something like, he should be less freaked out nowadays because now he's only booking one show every 2 months instead of two shows every 1 month.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, like, when we walked in, you could see, like, as you walk in is the merch, well, there was a high spots table where Ross and Lawler were actually signing autographs, and boy, did they look thrilled to be there. I think Ross, we were in the sports bar when I noticed that Oklahoma lost, and I was like, oh, God, he's going to be in a foul mood tomorrow. He did not look very happy to be there.
Yeah, and apparently Botox couldn't keep Lawler's smile permanent.
They just, oh, God, we forgot to tell, what was his true friend's name? Zach.
Yeah, as we're walking toward the venue, we're about a half a block away, and this guy is walking toward us. So keep in mind that he's walking away from the venue with about a half an hour to go before bell time. He's walking very quickly, talking on his cell phone. Oh, my God, you won't believe it. Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, it's my 8x10. It says, here's what it says. To a good friend, Zach. And, and so and me, then, Jordan, Steve, and Derek, we all look at each other, and I just start going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, kind of like when Santino won the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royale.
Yes. This guy, like, it was like his life was completely made from that point on. I don't even know if he came to Dragon Gate or not, if he's just there to get Ross and Lawler's autograph.
Yeah, he was making a mighty fucking beeline away from the arena after getting that
autograph. He was walking like he won 10 lotteries. So, so happy, he's skipping his step.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Well, let's go down the card here, I guess.
Okay.
So you got Gabe Shuffle walking around, being all nervous. Are things going to go okay? Are they going to go according to plan, or is this going to be a disaster? Well, let's find out. First match: Dragon Kid and Masato Yoshino.
Yep.
Any general thoughts on this?
Good. Not as good as I thought it was going to be, but that's because I set the bar so goddamn high after seeing him in Chicago a couple years ago. Good opener. Got the crowd kind of jazzed up, you know.
Yeah,
whatever
it did.
About the moves. It was good.
There was a "This is awesome" chant from the beginning, you know, in the first match.
Yep.
Would they go about 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's labeled at 14 here.
Okay,
post.
Yeah.
I guess I'll read those off from now on.
Okay.
But would you say that this is sort of a typical Gabe opener with the standard spots that they always do in Gabe openers? And
it was like a Gabe opener with an Ultimo Dragon twist to it. There was a lot of the whole match seemed like Ultimo Dragon kind of facing Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah.
But with the Gabe kind of hectic, you know, 14 minutes of crazy going on, so.
Yeah, he always overbooks it. He always does the Bill Watts thing with it. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I guess a lot of the openers that I've seen have Colt in them.
Sure.
I don't know. I think he kind of designed it almost WWE style. Put the cruiserweights on first.
Yep,
which is strange
exactly.
To say for a show where I don't think anybody weighed more than 230 pounds. But
right.
Nonetheless, you know, fast-paced opener to get the crowd going.
Yep. Yeah, and it really did do the right thing because they've been playing hype videos for 20 minutes leading up to it, and it was a good, you know, it was a good hectic opener. Got the crowd energized, so.
Okay. All right.
It was.
And in the end, Kid won with a crucifix bomb. So
yep.
That was the match.
Yep.
Second match, Eric's boy, Mike Quackenbush.
Fuck yes, Quack.
Teaming up with Jigsaw, who I love, absolutely love Jigsaw, against Yamato-san and Gran Akuma.
This was my least favorite match of the night. The whole, well, if not second, I mean, it's probably tied with a match later, but the whole match, they just seemed to step off. The timing was off. The ref was out of place. Just like, I don't know. I don't know quite what it was, but it didn't, the pieces, Jigsaw, didn't fall into place. Jigsaw looked kind of, oh, God. He was selling a knee injury the whole time, and it kind of bothered me because he was selling a knee injury when he'd walk or run the ropes, but he could jump up and do massive flips just fine. So it kind of took away from my kind of enjoyment of the match. Kind of hard to suspend my disbelief when that's going on. Like, he can't run the ropes, but he can do a standing Hurricane Rana with a guy on the top rope, you know?
Sure. And sadly, my beef also lies with Jigsaw. You got Gran Akuma and Yamato, who are just big-time heels. Their characters are great. They're great heels. Gran Akuma, he's ugly. What did you call him, Jordan?
Oh, God, I can't remember. What did I say?
My man's Uncle Fester? Or, oh, God damn it, I can't remember what you called him.
Yeah, I can't remember now either.
Well, I think I put it in the write-up.
On your post,
yeah.
Steve MHW called them Baby Baron von Raschke.
Yeah,
that's right.
Nicho and Lionato.
Okay, there you go. That was Steve. Sorry, Steve. Yeah. So you got these guys. They're mean. They're evil. They're heels, and they're really like making good contact. Their kicks look good. Their punches, chops, and everything. And they're up close. They're in tight, and they look good. Well, Jigsaw is coming back with these wild looping forearms that are coming from much, much further away than just one arm's length. Like, if you're going to act like you're in a fight. I can see where things like that can work in the context of Chikara, where things are a little looser and more fun. But Dragon Gate was not meant for that, and you should wrestle more like that. And I'm sorry to tell somebody to change the way they wrestle, but it just didn't look good in that context.
No, and it was really ill-fitting for the show, yeah. It just stood out in a bad way. So...
Yeah, and that's the mark of being a good worker, is adjusting to who you're wrestling.
Yeah, and he definitely wrestled a Chikara match, you know, with a lot of lightish moves and a lot of, you know, suspension of disbelief, whereas a lot of other guys are chopping the shit out of each other and beating the holy hell and a lot of stiff, crisp moves, and his looked pretty light, and he was kind of far away on a lot of them.
Okay, yeah, I mean, in Chikara, that plays off excellent.
Yes, it does. But again, yeah, it just didn't quite work right for the show. I mean, it wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination, but it just, as far as, you know, the rest of the night goes, it kind of stood out in a bad way.
Okay. Now, Eric, what was your report card for Quack on this night?
Well, my report on Quack?
What did he do to impress?
My favorite thing that Quack did on the show was appear with, was it Lenny Leonard or one of the Leonards or some jackass Leonard in a video before the show actually started, because he's a really, really good host of things and a really good talker.
Yeah, he was perfectly cheesy, like just the exact perfect shill you needed for the show.
Yep.
They kept running the same like 5-minute intro, hyping up the first Dragon Gate show in Philly and leading into the one in Chicago. So
it was kind of like watching right before an ECW pay-per-view, like Heat Wave 98, and you keep hearing...
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Just like for a half an hour over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, Quack, he's a great wrestler. I'm not going to deny him that. What he did looked good. Like I said, I think the fault lays with Jigsaw in this match.
Yeah,
but, I say that if FX is ever dumb enough to give me $25 million and the ability to book a wrestling show... If not the first or second or third, definitely the fourth guy I'm picking up is Mike Quackenbush.
I agree with that, totally.
He is the fucking man, and he's going to host my Piper's Pit segment, too.
Yeah. And he was really entertaining, and he knew, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of indie matches that guy had, so he knew what to do. He was the one the hot tag was made for, you know. Jigsaw was selling the whole time and trying to make the hot tag, and Quack was doing the right things. It's just Jigsaw selling was sporadic and just kind of looked iffy. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's enough on that one.
Yep.
What followed was a promo by a hot young tag team called the Young Bucks.
Fuck. Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't too bad, really.
Yep. Bunkhouse and Zumhoff.
Yeah, Buck Zumhoff, and Buck Rogers
Uncle
is
Buck.
Uncle Buck. Yes.
Uncle Buck. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so like I told this to Eric as we were sitting there. It's like the Hardys from 1999, pre-brewed, pre-Michael Hayes, like when they were just kind of like on heat. And, you know, it's like they've transported in time. Like, nothing changed. Like, Jeff hadn't started building aluminummies, and Matt hadn't started, you know, being whatever Matt is. They just completely transformed. Yes, terrible. and just, you know, just that Hardy stopped right there, and then we're transformed into Dragon Gate in 2009,
yep,
which is not a compliment.
No, one of them's blonde, one of them has brown hair. They both have the dumb sideburns. They have tassels on the bottom of their tights. They have
ponytails. They have ponytails and, like, blue splattered pants, you know, that look like the Rockers wore all the damn time, or the Hardys, you know.
Just cheesy.
And it said YB on their butts, too, so it was like, oh, God. And not even capitalized, like, in lowercase letters. Yeah, it was bad. But everybody seemed to love them.
Well, everybody was wrong.
Yeah, I know.
In ROH, the Ring Crew Express were fun because they were supposed to be bad. You know?
Yes, I was going to actually make that connection, Marcos and Dunn. They were very much like that, except for you knew Marcos and Dunn were just a couple of silly jobbers. These guys are being shoved down our throats by Gabe.
Right, this whole thing is about them. The whole promo was about them being the tag team of the future, or being deemed the tag team of the future, and they were there to claim that they were the tag team of the present.
Yeah.
And then we just ended up making a Bill and Ted reference later. Steve and I were trying to figure out who was who was George Carlin. It ended up being Michael Hayes, and they came
Michael
in a phone
Hayes
booth. Because I don't get the crowd loved it, so I'll give them that, but I hated it.
So Jimmy Jacobs comes,
yes,
right, with Mustafa.
Yep, Mustafa Ali.
Is this the Mustafa, or is this somebody else?
No, this is just some tiny... It looked like a white kid to me. I don't know. It's some fucking kid. He wrestled in spray earlier in the night.
Yeah.
Okay,
it looked like Daivari had been deflated.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Jacobs with, like, the gangsta Mustafa, then you really got something.
Mm-hmm. No, not the baldy Mustafa or whatever.
No, that would have been the highlight of the fucking century if Saeed would have made his return at Dragon Gate.
I had to ask, because that's what I thought of.
No. It's just some maybe 150 pounds soaking wet with two anvils on his shoulders guy in a turban for, you know, trying to get heat in 1977 way. So
here's a big shock. Jimmy Jacobs was the best part of the whole segment.
Yep,
wow.
A big ovation.
He knows how to cut a fucking promo, too.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, he's not a cheese dick like the fucking Hardy Boys are.
Yep. So.
I'm not even going to make an attempt to remember their team name. To me, they're just...
No, I can't even remember. It was, you know, Zumhoff and Bunkhouse. That's all I remember.
Fucking Rogers and Uncle.
Yes.
So
I just called them Matt and Jeff. What did I call them? Ricky Gibson, or Ricky Jannetty and Marty Gibson, or whatever? Because they were just... They seriously looked just like, just exactly like that.
Yeah.
So, it was good and got the crowd going.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Okay,
hello?
So I asked,
we can all hear each other great.
Yay!
I asked if they got attacked in the segment. Is that how it ended then?
Yes. Well, they were invited to join a new group that Jacobs apparently is either going to run in Dragon Gate or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You're either with us or against us kind of thing.
Oh, no. Okay.
They said, we're on our own in a stupid, like, come on, baby, sort of way. And
entire rest of the weekend, by the way, was pretty much dominated by me constantly bringing my fist into my chest with my elbows at my side like Matt and Jeff used to do in 95 as jobbers and just going, come on, baby!
Because that's
I
how the.
I made sure to save it for the main event, which.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, fuck it. I don't give a fuck about these guys. We're talking way too long about them.
Yep.
And they wrestled in the main event, and I was so fucking sick and tired of seeing them after the promo that every time they would do something silly, like cheesily baby facey, from all the way in the back of the arena, I would just pump my fist and scream, "Come on,
baby!" And I'd always yell, "Come on, Jeff!" as Matt used to do in tag matches.
Yeah. So the less said about them, the better. So anyway.
Yep. Anyway, it was with us or typical. With us or again us thing.
I just thought I'd dwell on him a little bit because I got a kind of a strong reaction from Eric on that. So
yeah.
Yeah, we were both not happy with that.
Okay. All right. Well, that was followed by something good, which was a 23-minute match in which Naruki Doi defeated Brian Danielson.
Yes.
Yep.
Good
Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were going to say Eric something.
I was going to say, Eric put the over-under on, like, how long they would say before some jackass yelled, "You sold out," you know, because this was his last match before he goes to WWE, et cetera. But amazingly enough, the crowd was really respectful.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, right, it's been announced that that's not going to be his last match before he goes to WWE.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He's wrestling Nigel in Ring of Honor on September 26th.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. That's why he didn't want to give a going away speech or whatever.
Yep, so we saw nothing historic whatsoever.
No, exactly. Well, fuck him then.
what were we saying? Oh, I guess, I mean, I thought somebody was going to start booing him or, you know, whatever. Yell the "you sold out" thing. Steve and Derek were sitting way further up than we were. They said they heard some boos when he came out, but there's nothing that I could make out from where we were sitting.
No, it was pretty loud cheers from where we were, standing ovation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
I've noticed, like, dating back to ECW, who originated the "you sold out" chant, they can be pretty arbitrary about who they give it to.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was either going to be somewhere, and I even suggested, I wonder if it was going to be a "please don't go," like during the Eddie Dean match.
Yeah.
You know, I would thought it would be somewhere either what Eric said or what I said. And amazingly enough, I think people just understand nowadays that that's the only way you're going to make any money. So people just gave him the cheer he deserved, a few smattering of boos, but for the most part of what, the 600-plus people, I bet you 550 were cheering for him.
Well, it's
the same. I absolutely would sell out if I was in his position.
Well, that's exactly it. It's not even selling out anymore.
Making a fucking living.
The whole fucking point of the business is to, the whole fucking point of the business is to make money. So
I don't know. But it's the same smart mark mentality that it's been this old. Like, if they would have, I just envision guys, crowds in ECW, starting a match with a "you sold out" chant, and then 20 minutes later screaming, "Please don't go."
Like, yeah, exactly.
Mind you, bunch of babies. Quit jerking off.
Yep. But it was really, you know, it was actually the most subdued crowd, like, as far as stupid chants and stuff that I could have imagined.
Yep.
Really.
Good.
They just wanted to see the Dragon Gate show. Yeah.
Excuse me. That's your ticket out of town, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bullshit.
Yep.
But it was a good match with a good ending. I mean,
thought it was interesting that this man needs no introduction and then literally did not get an introduction.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. No music, no nothing. The lights went out, he showed up in the ring. I mean, we could see him from where we were because we were basically right down the entrance. By entrance, I mean curtain that was above or below a TV. But yeah, we could see him. but other than that, he just showed up in the ring. They said this man needs no introduction, didn't introduce him, showed up in the ring, and then they introduced Doi.
Okay.
So.
And the match itself, very good.
Good. Real, very,
very
good.
Very
good.
Yes, very good.
Very good. Danielson doing his typical, you know, like I think I said in the write-up, just meticulously working over one body part.
Uh-huh.
He's just so mean. That's the best part of his character, is that he acts so vicious when he's working over these body parts.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll, like, for a guy who's 5'8 and barely 200 pounds, the way he just stalks over guys as he's working them over, and the smirk on his face, great character. I really don't know how it's going to apply in WWE.
Yeah, see, physically to me, like, especially on Sunday, he looked like William Regal, like,
yeah,
build-wise.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's his niche, is in that Regal territory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's exactly what he was.
I'm probably not giving him enough credit with the 5'8 thing. He might be 5'10 or 11 for all I know.
I bet he was 5'10 or 11, I would guess, just seeing him. But he's beefed up a little bit. He's definitely getting ready for WWE.
Yeah. You say he's taking his vitamins?
Yes, and Shiki's medicine. So, no, it looked, it was good. It was good. He was really, really mean looking with some of those moves, especially working over that arm. Yikes. Crowd was really buying the moves he was doing. It looked like he was breaking Doi's arm, so.
Well, and that's a credit to Doi as well. For selling it like that, so.
Oh, he was screaming when he was getting those moves on. Yeah, so.
Nice.
It would have been easy for Dragon Gate to give Shima the world title or, you know, even Dragon Kid, but Doi is a really good champion. He's a great wrestler.
Sure. Yep.
And the right guy won at the end. No, go ahead.
Huh? Yes, I'll agree. The right guy won in the end. Dragon, American Dragon, whatever the fuck you want to call him, managed to put over Doi pretty well for the finish. And then transition into a promo where it was basically don't cry for me sort of thing. And then put over Davey Richards huge, saying that he could probably go on to call himself the best in the world.
Right. Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was – basically was talking about – it was a plea. It was like a call to arms for indie wrestling. Like, thank you for supporting it. Please, you know, all the guys in the back, we need to keep this alive, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So.
Because in Dragon Gate, there is no bullshit of the politics.
That's right.
Right.
Behind that curtain.
What you gotta understand is...
I'll never forget. To this day, it's entertainment.
On my mother's grave.
So, you know, it worked. It worked, you know. It was a good promo, and it eventually set up for what happened later, so... It served its purpose. It was a good go to intermission match, and it was a good go to intermission promo. So.
And the intermission lasted many minutes.
Many minutes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what was it, half hour, 40, 45, something like that. We weren't paying any attention. We're too busy rooting through the $5 high spots bin.
Yeah, that put a smile on my face.
Oh,
I
know.
I have something to smile about.
That's awesome.
Sifting through the Ranger Ross and Orlando Jordan shoot interviews to get to the real important things. St. Louis Wrestling. And
the best matches for Ranger Ross collection.
Ranger Ross's best match, now available on DVD.
Yeah.
We got to get the team job to Big Scott Hall at the Great American Bash.
Woo! It's my favorite match of his. It's only me. So
he jobbed to somebody on Wrestle War 89.
That was the pay-per-view.
Right.
Sorry, I forgot.
Okay.
It wasn't Scott Hall, though.
Okay. Was it Bill? No, Bill Irwin wrestled Pillman.
Pillman, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was Butch Reed.
Oh,
yeah.
They call him the natural.
Yep.
And the only thing I remember is Flair Steamboat.
of course.
So, no, it served its purpose. There was a line about a mile long that was a combination. Get your Dragon Gate line in the men's bathroom. There was like two women in the entire arena.
At every ROH show I've ever been to, it was like, oh, that's a girl. Is it though? Yeah, wow. You know, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I know. They looked out of place or looked like they didn't care.
I'm sure they didn't.
No, I'm sure they didn't. And their boyfriends with the upturned collars brought them, so.
Yep.
They're probably combing through their cell phone to try to find their next boyfriend.
Updating their Facebook status, yes.
Bitch Academy.
Putting on too much blue eyeliner.
Oh, my God. I'm about to find out about that firsthand. Fuck. That was the other,
anyway,
that was the other reason we were so late to get to the fucking Stone Mountain Lodge or the sports bar and grill. Goddamn dumb girls, anyway. Okay.
Anyway, continue. I just thought I'd get that in there.